This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Harrington for the Pirates with a 1-1. And it's line past third. Down the left field line it goes. This will score a couple. Into second base goes Jake Mangum, becoming a folk hero. It's 2-0, Tampa Bay. And it's grounded up the middle, a base hit. And it's 3-0 on an 0-2, a ground single. And now misplayed by Cruz. He picks it up and throws late. O'Neill Cruz having a whale of a time in center field early going this year. It is 3-0, Tampa Bay. And Meisner gets the RBI and moves to second on the error by Cruz. And a high drive to right field. That's a no-doubter. Wow, crushed by Brandon Lau. His second home run of this young season gives Tampa Bay a 6-0 lead in the fourth. Line drive, base hit into right. Brandon Lau with his third hit, on base for a fourth time. And now Tampa Bay leads it 7-0. Mason Montgomery for the Rays, the pitch. Swing and a miss. And this game ends with another Pirates strikeout. And the Pirates are shut out. And they fall to 1-5 on the young season. Final score, Tampa Bay 7, Pittsburgh 0.
Oh, boy, Bob. Oh, boy. Pirates lose by a touchdown. They should have tried a tush-push in the game. We have a million stories today. We have great guests today, and we're reunited, and it feels so good. How are you, Bob?
I'm doing well. How was your golf excursion?
It was incredible. I was with your friend Alex Urrea at one of the most prestigious country clubs, I don't know, on the planet.
Yeah,
Naples Country Club. Bob, I didn't belong there. They had a hell of a grilled cheese, I'll tell you that, with a Diet Coke and fries, just the way I like them.
You get tomato bisque soup with that? That's how it normally goes together. It's hand and glove.
I actually should have, now that you mentioned it. And he was a very nice man. He knows a lot of Pittsburgh sports people. I saw people who run Giant Eagle. I saw, you know, he knows so many sports guys, and everyone he mentioned, I'm like, Alex, if you told that guy that you played golf with me, he would say, why'd you play golf with that blankety blank? All these people who don't like me. But he's a terrific guy, and we had fun. I felt like I was at the Masters, Bob. It was an incredible course.
Oh, he's really good at reaching out, creating relationships. Just a really good guy all the way around. And his son is on the fast track to getting a nice college opportunity.
And his daughter is a really good golfer.
Right.
And we FaceTimed you after after I parred a hole,
and
right?
As soon as I saw the FaceTime coming in, I said, this is either really good or he just threw his set of clubs in the lake.
One of the two happened.
And I saw Alex and you together in a cart smiling. So I figured it was good.
It was a par. And I was on my best behavior because in a place like that, you can't act up. and everybody was wonderful.
It's a great golf course, too.
Oh, my God, was it a great golf course. Limits, are you happy to see Bob and I back together?
Very happy to have the gang all back together. It's like the family reunion, finally reuniting after a week away.
I love his hat today, don't you, Bob? It's the Stargell Star hat from 1979.
And it's signed by Manny Sanguian as well.
Wow.
Underneath.
Wow.
How about that?
Number 35.
Yes, sir.
The best opposite field hitting catcher I think I've ever seen.
Yes, sir. And a bad ball hitter at that. Yes. They could use him right about now, and nobody's handing out stars right about now. And, Bob, we begin today with bird crap and Belfont snorkels. Does that sound enticing to you?
I'd be curious to find out about the Belfont snorkel. Who are we talking about?
We're talking about Ryan Wilson, aren't we, Limits?
Yeah,
from CBS Sports, this guy who's
now
used
annoying
to,
me.
Yeah, he used to come on with Ron and I all the time. He was a big fan of Ron. Ryan went to CMU. He's their draft guru. He's been giving me the Belfont snorkel for weeks now. And then yesterday, and this is, some call this a triple Belfont. What did he do to you, Limits?
So I asked Ryan if he could come on with us yesterday. And I know, Joe, you have been getting dodged, might be the correct word, by Ryan at times.
Snorkeled, and, yeah.
Yeah, not answering texts. Ryan has been very good of getting back to me. He responds
right.
pretty quickly. But he said that he was slammed yesterday, unfortunately, and he wouldn't be able to join us. He didn't say that he wouldn't be able to join us, but he said he's slammed, unfortunately. So
yeah.
I said, okay, hopefully another time. Come to find out, Bob, he joined the PM team yesterday,
Bob,
after our show.
He joined the PM team. So he snorkeled me and Limits and then went on the PM team. That's a rarely seen, rarely executed triple Belfont snorkel. What do you make of it?
Was there some enticement to go on
the
PM team?
Well, that's what I'm wondering, if Donnie Football is behind all this. Is he telling Ryan Wilson to sort of pile on here, or what's going on?
Is Pony doing that?
I don't know.
Is he doing that?
I have suspicions all the way around.
Hmm.
This reminds me when I started on the Penguins beat, and suddenly I suspected the PG beat writers back then of subversive behavior, Bob, of blowing up my interviews and things like that. Then again, I'm paranoid, but just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean someone's not out to get me, right?
I think you need to check that out. Don't have that as part of your beliefs anymore. It doesn't do any good.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
All right.
Whatever it is, it is. If he doesn't want to come on here, then fine. We'll move on and get somebody else.
Okay. How about the bird crap? Every year at this time, I have a red Toyota Camry. There's a flock of birds, and flock is too light a word, Bob, who congregate right above my driveway where I'm parked. Like, it could be anywhere. It's like they're aiming.
And they're pretty good with their aim.
Yeah. They just drop like torpedoes. It's like they have these torpedo bats. So I pull up to a Mount Lebanon coffee shop this morning, and I get out of my car, and the roof and the back of it is it's turned from red to white. It's embarrassing. And I couldn't make it to a car wash, but my car is basically a moving pile of bird crap. What do you make of this?
Thankfully, it's at the top where nobody will see it, so you don't have to worry about that. You are the only one who knows at this point. I don't, unless you
well, the pass trunk, the trunk too.
Well, the trunk, okay. Well,
yeah.
I was going to say only the truck drivers would see that, but since you're now including the trunk, a simple solution. After the show, before you go hit golf balls, go to and just get it washed off. Although the longer you put it on there, the longer it takes to get off, too. It's not easy.
It usually lasts about a week. Some people may say park in the street. We're not allowed to overnight. That's A. B, the gas company is here working on a project right in front of our house. This reminds me of your woodpecker problem, Bob, and how is the pecker problem going?
That problem has ceased to exist, which is good. Whatever methods I've been using over now, I don't know how long ago this was. A year and a half ago, whatever
yeah.
it was, and I haven't seen that woodpecker back. Now, maybe he died, and rest in peace if that's the case. However, he may have been just kind of, tired of my antics. He could be.
Yeah.
Because I would ride out there 6 in the morning, fully engaged, whatever I was
you
wearing
wore him
or
out.
Not wearing, and I was,
yeah.
I was throwing things at the house. I was doing things that I shouldn't have been doing because I was losing my mind of sleep.
You but won.
I won, but it took a while to win.
Limits, did you ever hear of Bob's woodpecker problem and the medication he took to solve it?
Oh, all the time. I did not know about the medication. I also had a similar woodpecker problem years ago that was pecking at our gutters right outside
They'll
my window.
They'll peck at anything, I found out.
Why would
they peck
at gutters,
and
Bob?
Peck. I don't know, but Their pecking is nonstop, and it's almost on clockwork time. It's every
do they
day.
Sense water in there? Is
I don't
that
know.
What they're looking for?
I have
limits,
no idea.
Or did you? How'd you get to the bottom of it?
You know, I don't think that they're pecking at the gutter just to look for a drink
yeah.
of water when there's you know puddles and other things, especially when it rains.
I think
right.
they're just agitated. You know, they have yeah. things going on in their personal lives which make it impossible to try to figure out.
Constantly
so out
agitated.
Yeah.
That feels like me. It does. Maybe I'm a human woodpecker. Let's start with a six-pack today, Limits. Let's go. We have so many things to talk about, and we have a treat. Is it Matt DiMarcico? Is that the name?
DiMarcico.
Matt DiMarcico.
DiMarcico.
Yeah.
He's
the
from
The guy
Wexford.
Who scored from Wexford. DiMarcico.
The Penn State version maybe of a golden goal if they win the whole thing.
Yes, right. sir. He scored the goal that is sending Penn State to the Frozen Four. We're going to talk to him in the second segment. But yes, a six-pack. Ron is already on beer number 8 in Fort Myers. Maybe we can catch up fast.
Did you catch up with him, by the way?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I know. We were having problems of our own on the vacation, and Ron didn't get a hold of me the couple times he snuck into Pittsburgh.
Fair.
This wasn't
That's
retaliatory,
fair.
But, you know, I didn't feel any great need for it. Let's start where we always start, for God's sakes. I know you started with the Pirates. We'll get to that. It's Aaron Rodgers. And what Art Rooney had to say yesterday, Bob, the biggest breakthrough quote yet, and it seems completely inevitable now that Aaron Rodgers is on his way to Pittsburgh. Limits, I know I told you Ben was going to be the first quote, but let's hear from Art instead as our first six-pack quote.
Two things from Art. This is first on what the meeting with Aaron Rodgers was like.
It was good to meet him. Yeah, we talked about Pittsburgh and all the Pittsburgh coaches he's had over the years. And we talked about Greenfield and how much he knows about Greenfield. And so, yeah, we had a good conversation.
Why does he know Greenfield? Because of McCarthy.
Yeah, yeah. McCarthy always talked about Greenfield, I guess.
Now, here's the main one. How does Rooney feel about Aaron Rodgers signing?
You have a good feeling.
Yeah, I mean, we keep getting, you know, positive sort of signals about it. So, yeah, I'd say we feel pretty good about it.
Bob, this seems almost like a done deal. I remain convinced it's going to happen on the Pat McAfee event
you
here
and
in
everyone
Pittsburgh.
Else, and I understand that feeling.
What's your feeling right now on Aaron Rodgers?
I got to believe there's a lot of truth that there's some sort of handshake agreement. I don't think Art would have said that if there wasn't something.
Right.
But also, I'm not, you know, knowing Aaron Rodgers and how he operates, I'm not so sure if that's 100% ironclad there. I think, you know, you'll find out on April 9th. If there's no announcement there and it still goes on, then maybe that's not the case. He also said he's not going to wait forever, although there's no time deadline here.
Well,
what does that mean forever?
If they've identified Aaron Rodgers as their guy at the most critical position in all of sports, then why wouldn't they wait forever at this point? They have
well,
to.
Well, yeah, I guess we're just into April.
At least until the draft.
Want. Well, yeah, I think they need to know, if they don't already, about the draft. You know, if he may say no to you, then that may change a little bit of how you think about the draft. But
I think it's a deal that's already been done.
If it's here, okay, that's fine. You move on. And I think Austin and I are on the same page. After Fields, that was my choice. After that fell apart and didn't work. I mean, I can make a scenario for you where Aaron Rodgers could be very good for this team, provided he gets enough protection. I can also make a case that if he doesn't get the protection, then they're going to have problems on their hands. So, but regardless, Joe, their quarterback situation moving forward is still in flux, and they have to at some point address that and fix it.
And I don't think it's been upgraded one bit and maybe downgraded from last year. Like, if you told me right now I could have Aaron Rodgers and Mason Rudolph or Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, I might take choice B. I don't think there's any difference there. The last
I think
two,
Rodgers is better than Russell Wilson if he gets the time.
I disagree, but that's what makes for a good show. Next, let's hear from Ben Roethlisberger on the idea.
The football and podcast.
Of Aaron Rodgers. You've been on the football and podcast,
yeah, a couple
Bob.
Times. It's I mean, he's grown that thing pretty well. He and Spence do a good job with it, and a lot of people listen to it.
Did they serve you at the house? Hors d'oeuvres? Anything like that? Any food? They have a chef there, right?
I think Ashley's the chef. I don't think they have. I think his wife does all that. But, yeah, it was a nice time. I'll leave it at that. There was a big bottle of Louis XIII on the bar.
Oh, wow.
Louis XIII is as high-end as you can get when it comes to cognacs.
Wow. All right. He's done things we haven't, Limits. That's why he is the popular man on the show.
Indeed. Here is what Ben Roethlisberger had to say. This was on his football and podcast.
Aaron comes in here. The team just gets this much better. I mean, you get a Hall of Famer in here, it's this much better. I mean, it's the offense all of a sudden becomes a different team, you know? And that's not a slight towards anyone here. That's an Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a different animal. You can say what you want. Yeah, he can't move quite like he used to, this and the other. You know what still works? His arm and his brain.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's something that instantly makes this team offensively something to think about when you've got the weapons and that dude.
Bob, your thoughts?
I agree with him. I think, again, it has to be the perfect situation. You know, you have to be in a position where you know that you're going to provide him with the protection he needs. He now has DK Metcalf, and assuming they have both he and Pickens, with other options, I think he could be effective. I do.
He's saying, though, that clearly he just said that this would be an upgrade on last year, but your first choice would have been Fields.
Fields is, yeah, only because he has more upside. And that's how I felt all along. If you're going to sign Fields, given everything that Mike has said about quarterback mobility, he fits what you're looking for with the potential that he could upgrade his performance in the passing game, which means you may have solved your quarterback problem, who knows, just by re-signing him if he does what the potential says he can do. So that's why I wanted Justin Fields. But since that's no longer an availability, Aaron Rodgers, I think, is a better thrower and a better in-pocket quarterback than Russell Wilson, in my opinion.
Well, I won't deny that he can still throw. He can do that. But he better have plenty of time because he has started to throw more picks these past couple of years, his final year in Green Bay, his first year with the Jets, his first full year. So he started to throw more picks. He's less mobile. He's less accurate. 30th in the league in completion percentage, and he's going to be working in an Arthur Smith, Mike Tomlin offense with at least one highly problematic wide receiver. So call me crazy, Bob, but I'm not predicting as good an outcome as you or Ben seem to be doing.
I don't know what the outcome will be. I'm just, merely saying the potential is there for it to be a good offense. The potential is also there that it won't be, based on things you said. So they believe for 1 year, and this is a 1 year offer, apparently.
How much you think?
30, probably.
I think 40 plus.
You think that much?
That's my prediction there. I think it's going to begin with a 4.
That's a lot. But if you give him the proper protection, I think he still can do some things in the pocket that can make you much more effective.
All right, Bob, we're going to get back to the six-pack as time permits here. And, man, we're going to start with David Bednar being demoted. But first, let's get to Matt DeMarsico, the hero of the day here. And the man whose goal has – there he is. Look, Bob, on 93.7 The Fan on our YouTube page – which you should subscribe to, I might add, the man who sent Penn State to the Frozen Four with his goal against UConn. Matt, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great, man. You must be just living almost on a high these past several days here with that goal, huh? What's life like for you right now?
It's been unbelievable. I mean, especially to send Penn State to the first Frozen Four they've ever made. It's just the community. It's been unbelievable. The amount of texts and stuff I've gotten, people reaching out, congratulating, not just me, but the team. It's been really special.
The special thing, I think, Matt, is that you're a product of the Penn's elite system, and they have many other guys up there with that same background. Take me back. And what was that like for you getting involved, and what has it done for you as a hockey player?
Oh, it's been tremendous. I mean, I started as soon as I could with the Penn's elite program. I think we have, I want to say, 5 or 6 other guys from that same program on Penn State. And I think, I mean, obviously being from Pittsburgh, it's been a dream of mine to play Penn State ever since they went Division I. And I know that's been a lot of other guys as well. But just the Penn State pipeline, I think the development's been really good when they added in the Excel program as well for the high school age kids. I think it's been really good for my development. And I really thank the Penn State for making me the player I am today.
Well, Matt, let's talk about the goal itself. I'm looking at the replay right now. What an unbelievable moment it was. Take us through the play, and then, do you black out when you score like that? What do you remember when the puck went in the net?
Yeah, no. So, I mean, it was towards the end of overtime. It was looking like it could have gone 2 or 3 overtimes. But, I mean, my line mate, Charlie Serrato, made a great play entering the zone and found me in the slot. I wanted to one-time it, but I had to catch it on my backhand, went to my forehand, and saw some net up high and picked my spot, and it was unbelievable. And then after I scored, like you said, just a complete blackout feeling, just so much excitement. And I ended up throwing my stick into the crowd. I'm curious to see who has it, but I just thought it was a great
it's
moment.
It's on eBay right now. Excited. You're never going to get it back.
Who's got the puck?
No, never.
Did you get the puck?
No, I haven't gotten anything. I mean, I watched the video back, and I saw somebody catch the stick and hold on to it, bear hugged it. So it seems like they were excited too.
That's pretty awesome. I want to ask you about your coach, because he has really done some great things. I know he's finalist, I think, for Coach of the Year. I don't know if they've made that official or where that stands, but he's one of those guys who knows how to bring people together. So what attracted you to Penn State? I know they were a club sport just 15 years ago, so I'm sure if you had other choices, some of them may have been better. But what was it about Guy and what he does?
Yeah, no, definitely. I looked at some other schools, but I really just didn't think anything compared to Penn State on a hockey level, but then academically as well. And then, like you mentioned, Coach Godowski, he was a huge reason why I went to Penn State as well. I mean, I think the success he's had without having the major amount of draft picks that some of the other teams have had, I think he really knows how to build a culture and get the best out of everyone. So, I mean, I think it's great that he's up for a Coach of the Year. I think he's really well-deserved. And just the way he gets everyone come together and play a winning style and have a great culture, not even just at the rink, but away from the rink, all the guys are close. And I think it helps in big moments like you guys just saw.
Matt, I wanted to ask just about the goal and overtime in general, and especially how long it went. You scored with, what, about 2.5 left in the first overtime? It kind of reminds me of some of those old Penguins series in 16-17 when they hit game-winning goals to further move on in the Stanley Cup Finals. What are those moments like when you're grinding and battling in those moments where there's so many scoring chances, so many opportunities, UConn hit a post earlier in overtime as well to finally get it done?
Yeah, no, I mean, I watched all those old Pens games. I mean, I went to a couple old Penguins playoff games when they were in those runs, 16-17. And it's just as soon as you see the puck at the back of the net, it's just everyone goes crazy. It's just a complete rush of excitement, and just see all your teammates jumping over the boards. It's just unbelievable. Just like a feeling that's really hard to describe. And honestly, the goal really hasn't sunk in for me just yet, but it's still just a wave of excitement.
I mean, and we're talking to Matt DeMarsico, who scored the goal that has sent Penn State to its first Frozen Four. It's kind of a miraculous story here. You guys started 0-9-1 in the Big Ten. Do I have that right? And what turned your season around, Matt?
Yeah, no, we did start 0-9-1. I mean, I think we definitely played good enough to win a couple of those games. And then our starting goalie, Arseny Sergeyev, went down in the middle of the season. But I think to come back from going 0-9-1 at the start, I mean, it just shows what we have in the culture. Like I said earlier with Coach Godowski and some of the upperclassmen we have really didn't let us punt the season. I mean, I think we even got more competitive in practice when we were losing instead of just giving up. And I think just like how hard we competed in practice and the way we've kind of built our game each and every game, because obviously when you lose, there's things to learn from. And I think we took all those lessons and really applied them to our game the second half of the year. And I think the record's 23-1, I want to say. So we've been on a pretty big heater here. So just trying to keep it going into the Frozen Four.
Two more on that heater would be nice for you guys. I want to ask you about what it meant to play in Allentown. It seemed like it was almost, a home hockey match for you guys. How much did that help you along the way? Because, if it wasn't there, who knows what it could be like. But how much of a factor do you think that played?
Oh, it was huge. Obviously, I mean, it's technically a neutral site, but when we heard it, when we knew it was in Allentown, and you go out for warm-ups on Friday versus Maine, and you're supposed to be an underdog, but you got 9,000 people just screaming, "We are Penn State." I mean, it does definitely change the momentum of the game, and we started out really good early and got into a big lead at the end of the first period, so that was huge for us.
What do you think was the key game where you really saw the switch flip for you guys, where you realized that something like this was possible?
We played Michigan State at home, start of the second half of the year. We lost the first game. We played great. It was just, I think it was a one-goal game. And then Saturday night, it was kind of, we got to start this thing or we're going home. And we had a huge shootout win against they were ranked number one team in the country at that point. And I think once we won that game and the shootout and took down number one at home in front of a sold-out crowd, I think we all just kind of had that belief that we can beat anyone when we play the right way.
Matt, I see where your dad played football at Army. Is that right? What kind of sport? Yeah. What kind of sports household did you grow up in?
Oh, huge sports household. I think we have every single puck, ball, stick you can imagine in our garage. I mean, I played all of it growing up. My brother got me into hockey. He went through the Penns League program as well. So it's just been, even though my dad never played ice hockey, it was West Point football, but he understands what it's like to go through and play Division I sport and kind of that training aspect of everything.
That's what I was going to ask next, was why hockey? Did you play a bunch of other sports, and why this one?
Yeah, so my brother got me into hockey when I was young. I mean, I've played every other sport. I was pretty big into lacrosse when I was in high school. I mean, I'm still golf all the time too, but I think just kind of when I started skating, I just kind of loved it. And I think my parents always really supported me. They never pushed me in any certain direction. It kind of just had me find my love for the game, and that's something I'll always appreciate.
Golf Bob, huh? I wonder what Matt's handicap is.
I'm sure he's very good.
We should play with him. Matt, what's your handicap?
I'm a 5.
Oh, my God. He's not hesitant to tell you that, which means he's a 2.
No,
I know how that works.
I think that absolutely means you're a 2.
You said 5, you're a 2. Okay, we got that straight. I want to ask you one more thing about your next opponent. A lot of people look to them as the team to beat. You've been underdogs before, so tell us a little bit about that matchup potentially with Boston University and what it might mean.
Yeah, no, obviously they're a storied program, and they have a lot of talent, but I think, like you said, we've been the underdogs before. It doesn't really seem to change the way we play or how we approach things, and we'll just take this week to get a good pre-scout on them and just stick to our game plan and hopefully come out on top.
Well, Matt, we appreciate you taking the time. That was quite a moment, quite a goal, and good luck in St. Louis.
Yes. Thank you so much.
And we want to take on that 5, soon to be 2 handicaps.
Yeah, so absolutely.
When you win it all,
have you played out in State College, Bob? The courses
out
there?
Yeah, they have some nice ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Toff Trees is really nice.
Yes, it is.
A lot of competitions were held at Toff Trees, still are.
I played horribly there one day. Thank you, Matt.
See you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Good luck.
Thank
you. How about that, Bob, huh?
Whenever someone tells you they're a 5, they're really a 2. I know how this works. If he had hesitated, I've been really struggling, I'm a 5. You might have believed him or said it was a little higher, but no. That's a man who knows how to play golf.
Oh,
hockey players always impress me how they hit the golf balls.
Oh yeah. 0-9-1, and they're going to the Frozen Four. That's a hell of a story. Limits
done a great job with them.
Nice get there.
Yeah, I was really excited about that. We tried to get him on Monday, but having both of you guys here, I think, was pretty cool. And I was up there on Saturday at State, and there was a pretty decent buzz for what the hockey program's been doing. That was obviously before they clinched it on Sunday. And I was up at a game last year. Really, really cool facility up at Pagula that they're playing in.
Well, let's get back to the six-pack next before we get to the general and Starkey's card of the week. And, man, we have some Pirate stuff to talk about. We'll do that next, starting with David Bednar getting demoted to AAA. What a story.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, Limits, that was fun. That was a lot of fun talking about a legendary goal by Matt DeMarsica. Did he go to North Allegheny for, a couple of years, Bob? And then he went off like so many hockey players to other places.
Some of them go to way other places, but this is, this Penns Elites program has been very good, and they still have more coming in from that program. So that has been something that has catapulted a lot of young guys who may not be, the best at what they do in terms of top prospects in the country, but they're very good and they have an opportunity to take it and move it and get opportunities like he has at Penn State.
Did I mention how happy I am, Bob, that the Warriors won last night and Steph Curry had, let me see, 52 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 steals, and a block. One of the greatest performances I've ever seen.
12 three-pointers.
Yes.
12. Nobody has made more than 12 in a game except one person, Klay Thompson. That's who he's trying to get to.
He was trying to get to 14.
But how about Jokic last night? 61 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists.
I don't know. I've been watching basketball. And by the way, I have a new James Worthy framed poster behind me from the General that's going home with me today. I've been watching basketball obsessively for 50-plus years, and I don't know that I've ever seen individual performances like that back-to-back on TV. I watched the first one on the NBA app. The second one on TV, it was just phenomenal. But we digress. Back to the six-pack limits. Please crack one in honor of our old friend Ron Cook. Bob, big news yesterday. David Bednar demoted to AAA. I didn't see that one coming, even though I think it's a good move. I mean, I see a lot of people saying, yeah, that had to happen. Maybe, but I don't remember hearing it as a topic anywhere that it's time to demote David Bednar. But it's a good move, I'll say that, but I was shocked.
For his own sake, I think he needs to figure it out.
I was shocked.
Yeah, normally that would be something that they would not do, or if they did it, it would take a long time. This is only 3 games. But, however, if you can look at the big grand scheme of things, this dates back to last year in 2024 and into even this exhibition season, the Grapefruit League. All of these numbers that we're seeing have been consistently bad, dating back to his last 25.
So why did he open as the closer?
Well, that's a better question.
Shelty told the world that I don't have a closer. He's not the closer. Yet when the season comes around, he goes to him twice in a row.
You know, I guess just belief that he had figured it out, but he hasn't. He needs to figure it out. Although I don't know how many safe situations he's going to be in the way they're going.
Hopefully he gets things together.
His velocity still strikes me as good.
What a fall from grace. Yeah. I mean, it's a disaster.
Yeah,
a disaster.
It's not just that, but they're overtaxing the bullpen again last night. Thomas Harrington was supposed to come up a spot start even 5 games into this, whatever it is. And, you know, they were hoping he can go a little longer, and he didn't. And, again, they used the entire bullpen. So today they're in action at 110, and it's Skeens. And, you know, Skeens should take this at least into the 7th inning. And if he's still going well, I'd just ride him as long as I could.
You just mentioned something. Another one, please, limits, as we're now guzzling these things because the Pirates have come up. Derek Shelton. I wrote about this in the Post-Gazette today, Bob. They're off to a 1-5 start. Man, he better hope that Skeens pitches well, although Skeens has a good matchup today. And he better hope that Mitch Keller has a really good start against the New York Torpedo Bats on Friday when they come to town. But even if they do, they could lose. What if this turns to 2-8? What if it turns to 5-14 or 8-20? Would Bob Nutting make a move at manager, and should he at that point? That's 2 questions. Would he and should he?
Would he? Likely not. Should he? Likely yes. But my caveat to that is whoever they hire next is going to do exactly what all these other managers have done. Clint Hurdle was the one exception that he got this team to a level, but he had a big resume behind him. You know, if you're going to bring in someone who can be a controllable manager, then chances are you're not going to see much difference. It also starts with Bob Nutting. Above everything else here,
for sure,
it starts with him. He is the owner. He has to set the standard. We saw out in San Diego today that they decided to do something that a lot of teams have endorsed, which is signing a guy who is right there with
Jackson Merrill
as a rookie of the year. He finished 2nd to Skeens.
Yeah.
He got a huge contract. I'm not saying that necessarily has to happen right now. At some point it needs to happen if they intend to keep him beyond his arbitration years. But my point is, if it's the same sort of person you're looking for, then I wouldn't expect much change. So it goes above manager or GM for me.
To me, separate topics. Does it matter who the manager is? Probably not. Probably not. But should he be fired based on his record if this just gets worse? Absolutely. Should Ben Cherington go with him? Absolutely. But we all know how it works. The manager almost always goes first. Shelty is in his 6th year, Bob. He's in his 6th year, and among managers who have ever managed this long, he has the 4th worst winning percentage in the history of baseball. 413. Okay, there's three other guys who are worse who made it as far as six seasons. All the other ones with worse winning percentages were obviously fired before that. Bob Smizek pointed out the other day that eight managers were hired in 2020. The one who lost the most, Shelty, is the only one still with his team. Can you believe that, Bob? Now, listen, it would be unusual for any team to fire a manager in April or even May, but it's happened. Milwaukee moved on from Ron Renicki after a 7-18 start in 15. The Reds fired Brian Price, 3-15 in 2018. Poor little Phil Garner lasted only six games into the Tigers' 2002 season. You mentioned Hurdle. He got the job in Colorado after they fired Bud Black in 2001 when he started 6-16. And Hurdle himself, 8 years later, after getting that franchise to a World Series, was fired after an 8-18 start. I almost think if this thing starts out 1-9 or 4-17 or 8-21, you have to do it. You have to do it. Do you agree or not?
Yes, I do. But I also think it's, again, my thought there is, who will they replace him with? And will it make a difference overall? You can keep going through this if you want.
I don't know. Would somebody else enforce discipline? Preference? Would somebody else, when we see these basic fundamental plays mangled all the time that players learn in Little League, would at least...
Manager's fault then?
No.
You learn them in Little
League? No, but you know what is the manager's
accountability.
Fault? When there's no repercussions.
Right. I understand that.
So would somebody else walk in here and bench somebody right away?
Okay.
And get in somebody's face right away?
Sure, you can
maybe.
Do that.
Would it make a
Who's
difference?
Who's going to play for them?
I don't care if it makes a difference. I want somebody who would do that. I want somebody who would take their best hitter so far, Kiner Falefa, and not keep him locked in the nine hole and maybe lead him off.
Well, there
instead
lies.
Of leading off Jack Sawinski,
who
has an
on
base percentage smaller than their new first baseman and strikes out all the time. Other than that, he's the ideal leadoff hitter.
This is what I don't like about Shelton with this constant changing of the lineup. There is no consistency to any of it. And yes, you're absolutely right. Accountability is big, especially for a team that has no real superstars. Superstar treatment comes and goes. If you have somebody who does that, that's a delicate topic for a lot of managers / coaches.
Yeah.
In this case, it should not be a topic at all. There's nobody on this team that is above any of that. So, yes, that should be done. But my point to you is, if they make a change, do you honestly think it's going to be to someone who can, you know, not to stand up to the ownership and say, no, we're doing it this way. This is my general manager has to spend more than $80 million a year. You're handcuffing us.
No, I don't think it'll overall make a big difference because of the owner and the GM. Separate topic, it should absolutely happen. And if all the new guy does is come in and make sensible lineups and manage the bullpen better and get in somebody's face when they keep throwing to home plate when they should be throwing to second or make stupid plays on the base paths, that might be enough for me. It doesn't work.
Fine.
It doesn't work
it
for
be,
me
it would be
to
earned.
Say to say the reason to keep Shelton is because nobody else would do that much better.
I didn't say that. I said that if you're going to do it, you should do it with an upgrade, a massive upgrade, as the reason. I'm not, absolutely looking at this saying they're doing a terrible job on all levels. On scouting, they brought in two new hitting coaches.
Yeah.
What has that done? They're batting 160
I know.
As a team.
Believe me, I'm with you
Again,
there, but those are all separate topics.
I understand that, but it's under one big umbrella, and that umbrella has the name Bob Nutting on
and
it.
And he's not going anywhere. So does the manager belong here with
the
job that he's
manager?
Doing? The general manager should go with him.
He said earlier this year that he thinks this is the best roster that he's had in
the
6 years. In 6 years,
yes,
this is the best roster?
He's doing a terrible job, and he should go with Shelton if they get off to a disastrous start. But he won't. So it's always the manager first. And if that's going to be the way of it here, then he needs to go at some point if this gets worse or stays the same. You know, they go 1-5, 2-5, 3-5. What's their record then? 6-15? You know.
I don't know. I mean, I thought in the last two games there were plenty of reasons why. In fact, the first series as well. That he, Derek Shelton is a lot like many managers. They don't like to air their grievances publicly. Sometimes you need to do that. Sometimes you need to take a page out of Michael Therrien's book and make a statement that will be heard by everyone. You can say it in the locker room too, but when you put it out there in public, Some players may not like it. You bring those players in and you're honest with them. Say, yeah. Well, you're giving me no choice.
Right.
I want to see a better performance. And if I don't, I'm going to keep calling you out and then you're not going to play.
Winning time. I'll give Shelty this. He walked into the beginning of a total rebuild. But you know what? After 4 years of grace, winning time started last year. And they imploded in August with him being at a central figure in the bullpen mismanagement. And now they're off to a 1-5 start. Since the day he signed his extension, which was after their fraudulent 14-7 start in April of 23, he's 31 games under 500. And by the way, it would help us and everybody out there who helped pay for the stadium, which includes me, you, and everybody else, if they told us how long the manager was extended. They outrageously haven't told us, the public, that. We deserve to know. We don't even know how long Derek Shelton is signed for. He's the only manager and coach in sports that I know of where we have no idea how long he's signed for, which is ridiculous, Bob. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I think it all should be transparent. You know, we get these reports about what they're making or losing, or you know, nobody knows for sure because they're not going to show you. And that may be something that's potentially off limits. Not many teams do show you. But the bottom line is that what you see. You have to judge everything by what you see. And what you see is a team that is not committed to doing what's necessary to take it to another level, and they have to do it.
I just can't believe some of these guys are here, let alone the slots they're putting.
I can't believe
Jack
who played first Sawinski
base last night. Sawinski is still here?
How many first basemen do they go through?
And I don't even know who the guy was at first base last night. He's like 5'7", and there was a play at first where it was Harrington. Remember the one where he almost fell? Where if you had a first baseman who was like 6 feet maybe, then he's out. Where did that guy come from? Next. My God, Bob. What did you make of Harrington's first start, and what do you think of him as a prospect?
I haven't lost my belief that he's going to be a good pitcher at some point. I just thought last night he was nervous. It showed. He's normally a control pitcher, and he was not in control. He was wild. And again, it's very difficult when you – are pitching, and Paul Skenes may find this out today, when you don't get much run support. It makes it very difficult because you know you're going to be on very short margins here. You have to do the things you're supposed to do, but he was wild, and he's not normally wild. So I think he was a little amped up and nervous.
Well, I agree with that, and it's always, you know, it's an amazing feat to get where Harrington has gotten. And who knows how he'll turn out, but I will say this. I saw echoes of Quinn Priester, and it's just, man, it's really hard to make it as a major league pitcher when you're topping out at about 93. That requires you to be perfect, and I know he's a control guy. I do, and I hope for his sake he can execute that way at the major league level. It's just really tough to make it when that's your game because, as I think Joe Block was calling the game, there was a couple of balls that were a half inch off the plate, and Block said it. Like, a minor league hitter is going to swing at that. Major league hitters have eyes like, I don't know, yeah. Bob, what animals have great eyes? Do owls have good eyes or bad eyes?
I think they have good eyes,
yeah,
right?
I think so. An owl. I mean, like an owl.
I mean, that's
so
right.
You better.
The difference up here is major.
It's a tough way to live, topping out at 93 limits in the major leagues. I'm not saying he won't make it. I hope he does. It's an awesome story that he got there. They did a great job covering it last night with the family. It's just a tough way to live at the major league level. Keith Law was on with the PM guys, and he sees a lower rotational starter in Harrington. Like I think he said a 3-4 or even a 5.
I think he said a 5, yeah. And he said that he doesn't even have him in his top 100 prospects list, even though Pipeline has him at 78.
And that's your number 3 prospect, Bob.
Yeah, that's not – but I still think there's – I think when you watch him in the minors, whether or not he can translate this into the majors, when he's on his game, he's pretty good at locating pitches. And he did not locate him last night.
It ain't the minors anymore.
I know.
If you're not getting tons of swings and misses at this level,
well,
it's
and
a
Derek
tough
Shelton
way, it's
said
a
that.
Tough
said
way
everyone
to survive.
Everyone in Tampa's rotation and bullpen, all they do is just fire heat.
And it was especially galling, I'll use that word, to see his performance juxtaposed with Shane Baugh's blowing people away, and of course him being part of maybe one of the worst 5 trades in the history of baseball, right?
Yes, I think it was certainly the worst trade in Pirates baseball, for sure.
Well, one thing about him throwing 93, 94. That's also where Bailey Falter lives, and he's made a decent renaissance out of himself since leaving Philadelphia and going to the Pirates. Like, I'm not going to – it was a bad start for Harrington. Like, there's no way to sugarcoat that. But first start, a lot of nerves.
I'll grant you that, Limits, but he's their number three prospect, and Bailey Falter is a guy who has a 4.6 career ERA. So if Bailey Falter's his ceiling – I don't feel great about that if I'm a Pirate fan.
No, I'm not saying that that's his ceiling, but I'm saying that there are guys like the Kyle Hendricks of the world that with really good control and being able to spot pitches can still make a decent career out of themselves.
I agree with that, but you better be damn near perfect if you're topping at 93. Those are few and far between, I would argue.
That we can agree on.
Next. All right, Bob, next up is Skeens today, and every Skeens start is an event. And I can't wait to see it. It's an oasis in whatever else happens with the Pirates. At least we get Skeens. I feel like every time he goes out, he has a chance to throw a no-hitter. And I think he's going to be better today than he was in his first start. You agree?
He should be, yes. But that's a pretty good hitting team we see in Tampa. They got some guys out there who can get it done, but so will he. So this is going to be a typical Skeens start, which is, to me, it's going to be very close. He's going up against a pretty good pitcher himself. And so I worry more about how the Pirates can manufacture anything offensively, because no matter how well he pitches, if they don't, then it's going to be a loss. They got to give him support, and it has to change. My goodness, their batting average with runners in scoring position is just atrocious.
I mean, the lineup is an abomination.
It'll be different today again.
That's not an opinion. That's just a fact. And maybe they can change that fact. But I look up and down, and I think, Ben Cherington, what have you done? What have you done? In year six, your four leadoff hitters this year have been Tommy Pham, Ji-Won Bae, Adam Frazier, and Jack Sawinski?
And there'll be another one today, I bet.
Oh, my God. Next. Ovi needs four goals. Is it going to happen in Pittsburgh? I'm starting to get the feeling it is, Bob.
Yeah, I'm amazed at that guy. He missed 25 games this year with an injury you thought may have kept him out the whole year.
Yeah.
And he has 38 goals. The way he's going, the answer will be no. But down deep, I want it to happen here in Pittsburgh. I do. I want to see it. I want to watch him do it. I don't care that it's Alex Ovechkin and Washington and everything. I think people need to get beyond that and understand this is history. And I'm sure Sidney Crosby would welcome the challenge of trying to be on the ice when he's on the ice and shutting him down.
And now making him wait
for another year to do
right.
it.
Well, there's that side of it where if you wait for another year, you have the whole offseason to talk about it, right?
Yes.
And build it up. But now we're on nightly watch. I mean, obviously, Ovi's capable of a four-goal night. All right, Bob. Thank you for your participation in today's six-pack. The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Let's go to the general. General Patton, Jeff Patton from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry for Starkey's Card of the Week every Wednesday. Contest run through Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page. That's your chance to win. Man, I'm going with a Jokic-Curry combination today, Bob.
Now, why did you have to go first all the time? That was going to be mine.
I didn't go first. Usually I ask you.
No, you don't. You take it, and then I'm left, you know, I mean.
Now I feel selfish.
Those two, I was talking about them all last night. On the TV shows,
well, join me, Bob.
TV
we can do it
KDK
together.
Plus.
I'm sorry.
No, but you took him. Okay, why don't you take
that
one and
selfish.
I'll take the other?
Now I feel horrible.
I'll take Jokic. You can take Curry. How about that? We'll split the difference.
I like Curry. Yeah.
How dare he, Bob? He does that every week.
No,
see,
he
does.
Go back and you listen to last week.
I will.
Or maybe I do it every week.
You do it every week.
I'm sorry.
What do you think, Bob? Here's what I like. Okay.
What do you think, Bob? Play second fiddle.
Now in my head, I'm trying to come up with somebody else here on the fly.
Ready, fire, aim. Your next, Limit. So, who do you got?
I am going to go a little bit off the beaten path and say Alexander Ovechkin, who we were just talking about, which is not off the beaten path.
He's been out there before.
He's getting closer. You know what, Bob? I'll give you both of them. I'm going to take Shane Boz. How do you like that?
I'm sure the general has something on Shane Boz, but that wouldn't be my top choice.
Hello, General. How are you, and what do you have?
Gentlemen. Good morning. Thanks for having me. All good guesses buried in among Aaron Rodgers' torpedo bats.
Do you have a torpedo bat there? You might. If anyone does, you do.
Not yet. I'm hoping to have one by the weekend, though. And I hope I don't see too much of them this weekend. But among all those other stories, 1-5, wearing me out. Joker. We got to go with the Joker. 60-point triple-double.
Thank you very much, Jed. 60-point triple-double.
I'm glad Bob thought of it.
I did, but you... did I not mention at the beginning of the show where he talking about Curry? I said, by the way, did you see that?
General, do you miss Ron?
I certainly do.
So do I, actually.
Not miss Ron, but he would not have guessed the Joker. I'll guarantee you that.
No,
he wouldn't have.
No, unless you thought it was a Batman movie. And you
it's
might
a good
have
thing that
too.
Bob did guess the Joker. Thank you, General.
You're welcome. You guys have a good day.
You
All
too,
right,
sir.
Jeff.
What a man he is. I'm Bob.
Yeah, that place is amazing. That was the first time I was ever there, and I was just stunned with all the stuff he has.
I am so pumped. I just put it on X, this framed photo of James Worthy going in for a classic one-handed dunk, and I attached James Worthy to my post. Do you think he responds to this, Limits?
No, he might like it, but I don't know if he'll retweet.
Well, yeah, I mean, a like is a response.
Then yes, I'm going to be optimistic and says he does.
So far, he hasn't. I think it's a nice photo, Bob. Do you?
I think it's beautiful, yeah.
Can you name any of the three Celtics in the background?
I have to look at it. I can't see it.
Wrong. Quinn Buckner, Rick Carlisle, and Danny Ainge.
I would know two of those three.
No, actually, it's none of the above.
Okay.
Is that Quinn Buckner?
Rick Carlisle, the old coach of the Mavericks?
Yeah.
Greg Kite is in the background, number 50.
I don't remember him.
Greg Kite.